Well, good morning, everybody. This is Bill Hartranft calling in from in the Atlantic, Florida. That's due east of Melbourne. I'm out on the beach, and wow, what an incredible day it is today. Crystal clear, although there are a few clouds to the north, I guess, but it's warm. It's warm. I went outside this morning in my shorts and bare feet and a t-shirt, took a walk around. Got some air pumping into my bloodstream, and I feel a lot better, although I have been suffering from a bad cold that somehow came over me in the last 48 hours. Today, we're going to talk about power. Paul touched on it a little bit yesterday, but we're going to talk a little bit more about how power can be accumulated through no other principle like energy. Energy is nature's universal set of building blocks out of which she constructs every material thing in the universe, including man, and every form of animal and vegetable life. Through a process which only nature completely understands, she translates energy into matter. Nature's building blocks are available to man in the energy involved in thinking. Just like we talked about yesterday when I said if somebody's staring at you, and your back is turned to them, you sort of feel like somebody is looking at you. You turn around and you look at them. Man's brain may be compared to an electric battery. It absorbs energy from the ether, which permeates every atom of matter and fills the entire universe. It is a well-known fact that a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. It is also a well-known fact that an individual battery will provide energy in proportion to the number and capacity of the cells it contains. The brain functions in a similar fashion. This accounts for the fact that some brains are more efficient than others and leads to the significant statement, a group of brains coordinated or connected in a spirit of harmony will provide more thought, energy than a single brain, just as a group of electric batteries will provide more energy than a single battery. Through this metaphor, it becomes immediately obvious that the mastermind principle holds the secret of the power wielded by men who surround themselves with other men of brains. There follows, now, another statement which will lead still nearer to an understanding of the psychic phase of the mastermind principle. When a group of individual brains are coordinated and function in harmony, the increased energy created through that alliance becomes available to every individual brain in the group. It is a well-known fact that Henry Ford began his business career under the handicap of poverty, illiteracy, easy for me to say, and ignorance. It is an equally well-known fact that within the conceivably short period of 10 years, Mr. Ford mastered these three handicaps. And that within 25 years, he made himself one of the richest men in America. Connect with this fact the additional knowledge that Mr. Ford's most rapid strides became noticeable from the time he became a personal friend of Thomas A. Edison. We talked a lot about Thomas A. Edison in the beginning of this book. And you will begin to understand what the influence of one mind upon another can accomplish. Go a step farther and consider the fact that Mr. Ford's most outstanding achievements began from the time that he formed the acquaintances of Harvey Firestone, John Burroughs, and Luther Burbank, each a man of great brain capacity, and you will have further evidence that power may be produced through friendly alliance of minds. There is little of any doubt that Henry Ford is one of the best-informed men in the business and industrial world. The question of his wealth needs no discussion. Analyze Mr. Ford's intimate personal friends, some of whom have already been mentioned, and you will be prepared to understand the following statement. Men take on the nature and the habits and the power of thought of those with whom they associate in a spirit of sympathy and harmony. Henry Ford whipped poverty, illiteracy, and ignorance by aligning himself with great minds, whose vibrations of thought he absorbed into his own mind. Through his association with Edison, Burbank, Burroughs, and Firestone, Mr. Ford added to his own brain power the sum and substance of intelligence, experience, knowledge, and spiritual forces of those four men. Moreover, he appropriated and made use of the mastermind principle through the methods of procedure described in this book. This principle is available to you. It's available to all of us. Build a mastermind group. We have already mentioned Mahatma Gandhi. Perhaps the majority of those who have heard of Gandhi look upon him as merely an eccentric little man who goes around without formal wearing apparel and makes trouble for British government. In reality, Gandhi is not eccentric, but he is the most powerful man now living. This is the book. Estimated by the number of his followers and their faith in their leader, moreover, he is probably the most powerful man who has ever lived. His power is passive, but it is real. Let us study the method by which he attained his stupendous power. It may be explained in a few words. He came by power through inducing over 200 million people to coordinate with mind and body in a spirit of harmony for a definite purpose. In brief, Gandhi has accomplished a miracle, for it is a miracle when 200 million people can be induced, not forced, to cooperate in a spirit of harmony for a limitless time. If you doubt that this is a miracle, try to induce any two people to cooperate in a spirit of harmony for any length of time. Every man who manages a business knows what a difficult matter it is to get employees to work together in a spirit even remotely resembling harmony. The list of the chief sources from which power may be attained is, as you have seen, headed by infinite intelligence, what we and Paul talked about yesterday, and Mel. When two or more people coordinate in a spirit of harmony and work toward a definite objective, they place themselves in position through that alliance to absorb power directly from the great universal storehouse of infinite intelligence. This is the greatest of all sources of power. It is the source to which the genius turns. It is the source to which every great leader turns, whether he may be conscious of the fact or not. The other two major sources from which the knowledge necessary for accumulation of power may be obtained are no more reliable than the five senses of man. The senses are not always reliable. Infinite intelligence does not err. In subsequent chapters, the methods by which infinite intelligence may be most readily contacted will be adequately described. This is not a course on religion. No fundamental principle described in this book should be interpreted as being intended to interfere either directly or indirectly with any man's religious habits. This book has been confined exclusively to instructing the reader how to transmute the definite purpose the definite purpose of the desire for money into its monetary equivalent. Read, think, and meditate as you read. Soon the entire subject will unfold, and you will see it in its perspective. You are now seeing the detail of the individual chapters. Money is as shy and elusive as the old-time maiden. It must be wooed and won by methods not unlike those used by a determined lover in pursuit of the girl of his choice. And coincidental as it is, the power used in the wooing of money is not greatly different from that used in the wooing of a maiden. That power, when successfully used in the pursuit of money, must be mixed with faith. It must be mixed with desire. It must be mixed with persistence. It must be applied through a plan, a written plan, and that plan must be set into action. That's what we've been talking about. That paragraph really sums up everything we've been talking about this entire book. When money comes in quantity, is known as the big money, it flows to the one who accumulates it as easily as water flows down the hill. There exists a great unseen stream of power, which may be compared to a river. except that one side flows in one direction, carrying all who get into the side of the stream onward and upward to wealth. And the other side flows in the opposite direction, carrying all who are unfortunate enough to get into it and not able to extricate themselves from it downward to misery and poverty. Remember, misery loves company. Every man who has accumulated a great fortune has recognized the existence of this stream of life. It consists of one thinking process. The positive emotions of thought form the side of the stream which carries one to fortune. The negative emotions form the side which carries one down to poverty. Wow, that's powerful. This carries a thought of stupendous importance to the person who is following this book with the object of accumulating a fortune. If you are in the side of the stream of power which leads to poverty, this may serve as an oar by which you may propel yourself over into the other side of the stream. It can serve you only through application and use. Merely reading and listening, passing judgment on it either one way or the other, will in no way benefit you. I said that the other day. Some people undergo the experience of alternating between the positive and negative sides of the stream, being at times on the positive side and at times on the negative side. The Wall Street crash of 29 swept millions of people from the positive to the negative side of the stream. These millions are struggling, some of them in desperation and fear, to get back to the positive side of the stream. We're kind of facing that in our country right now. This book was written especially for those millions. Poverty and riches often change places. The crash taught the world this truth, although the world will not long remember this lesson. Poverty may, and generally does, voluntarily take the place of riches. When riches take the place of poverty, the change is usually brought about through well-conceived and carefully executed plans, written plans. Poverty needs no plan. It needs no one to aid it, because it is bold and ruthless. Riches are shy and timid. They have to be attracted. Anybody can wish for riches, and most people do, but only a few know that a definite plan plus a burning desire for wealth are the only dependable means of accumulating wealth. Wow, holy cow, what a tremendous last part of that chapter that we just read. But I just want to go back up to where I was just reading that. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. Oh, yeah, this paragraph, because this is everything we've assimilated in this book. And coincidental as it is, the power used in the wooing of money is not greatly different from that used in wooing a female. That power, when successfully used in the pursuit of money, must be mixed with faith. It must be mixed with desire. This is all we've been talking about. I mean, all along, as we started out in this book, we went through, you know, self-confidence and the self-confidence formula, and then we went through auto-suggestions, and Paul talked about writing down affirmations and then hearing them or reading them to yourselves twice a day or at least once a day. Creating that white-hot burning desire. What is going to consume you? What can fill your heart and your soul with the desire to go out there and accomplish the things that you're setting forth on your mission to accomplish? Persistence. You know, you hit a brick wall. You go through what I went through the last 24 hours, a really bad head cold and stomach bug, and you can't leave your house because you can't leave your house. You know what I'm talking about. And you just feel drained, and you're like, oh, God, I need to get through this. And so after you finish hitting that brick wall, you go back and you hit it again, you hit it again, you hit it again. Keep going forward. Persistence. You're on a mission. You can't stop at anything. You cannot let the daily humdrums of life, the difficulties, the challenges, the things that we go through, got to plow all that aside and continue to see beyond the tree into the forest. Persistence. It must be applied. And it must be applied through a plan. We've talked about having a plan. A plan is so very important. I mean, I was interviewed back in the 90s by Lifestyles Magazine. They wanted to do a cover story on me when I was training for another network marketing company, and they wanted me to tell in my own words what my goals were. And I told them I had 10-year goals and 5-year goals and 1-year goals and 6-month goals and 3-month goals and 1-month goals and 1-week goals and 24-hour goals. And in order to build those goals, I started at the top. Where did I see myself in 10 years? Where would I be living? What did I want to have? What would be in my, in my bucket list of things to do or be doing by then? Because you got to ask yourself, 1 year's worth of income is not enough. 1 year's worth of making a lot of money is not enough to take care of you for your life, not unless you're making $1 million a month. Because you're looking at your top number and you've got to figure that I'm going to live off about 6% of that. That's after taxes. So whatever your top number is, that's your defining purpose out, say, 10 years. Certainly you want to have a defining purpose for the nut you have to crack every month. That's also your defining purpose. And then having an action plan. It's great to have these goals. But unless you manage your life and time manage your life, and Melvin, I'm going to ask you to come on here in a second, so star six yourself when I do, since Paul's not here, because I want your expertise on this. Time management, Melvin, isn't that huge? I mean, time management is everything, and you've got to have an action plan. You've got to set up times every day where you're going to pick up the phone and you're going to call people. Are you there, Melvin? Melvin, star six. All right.
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, there you are, Melvin. Welcome to the call, Melvin.
Hey, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about how you do your time management during the day and maybe add on to what we're talking about here?
Well, when you speak of time management, actually you're speaking about the most important thing there is, and I think you just stated that. There's nothing more important than time. Money's not even more important than time. If any of you get a chance to ask Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson, and you'll see that there is just nothing more important than time. It's the most rich, most precious thing we have, and what's unfortunate is that we waste it. If we just stop to realize that it makes no difference who you are, I could care less. No one gets more than 24 hours a day. No one gets any more. No one gets any less. So it comes down to what we do with that. That's where the treasure is, how we utilize our time. And it's interesting that most of us utilize our time by giving it to someone else. We let them take it and use it. That's why when Sunday gets here, it's all my time has to be for church, or all my. And by the way, when I say for church, I'm not saying for God or a belief in a greater power. I mean, we could use church just like a social club as anything else. So, all of our time is either for church or it's all for. For watching football, but we've fallen in a habit of just blindly going along, and this is what everybody else does with their time. This is what I'll do with mine. So I don't want to ramble on here, but I just want to kind of point out that most of us actually waste our time. American Idol. I remember when they used to have the soaps on and women would talk about, what's going to happen today and what happened yesterday. And all that is your time being controlled by someone else for their benefit. They're having you give your time to that, and meanwhile they got a chance to brainwash you or take advantage of the commercial process of having you do their bidding. And most people just have no concept of what they're doing with their time. Now, if we take that time and we start using it properly, there's just no end to what we can accomplish or achieve, because we're talking about time, and time is the thing that we have to use to be persistent. Time's the thing that we have to use to take action.
So it takes time for things to accumulate and to have. It's like planting a seed. You plant the seed, and then you have to watch over it and see to it gets what it necessarily needs, and that growth comes from that. So, I mean, I can go on and on, Bill, about time because, you know, you're right on track here. It's so precious.
I appreciate it, Melvin. I appreciate your added words. You know, I was thinking about if people would just spend an hour and a half a day. You know, I listened to a couple of mentors of mine. One, Tracy Montefort. She's a trainer out on the West Coast. And also Paul Hutchings. And I listened to Paul about a week ago on the phone with Justin Brengia. And they spent maybe an hour and a half going back and forth making phone calls. And literally in that hour and a half time, both of them picked up about 15, I'd say, leads each. I mean, sure, they left messages, and sure, they got probably in touch with about three people, and they were flying. And, you know, I'm saying team up with people. That's what this chapter is talking about. Use the power of somebody else, somebody that will, as Melvin said yesterday, somebody who will challenge you. Somebody will be honest with you, won't agree with every thought that you have, but somebody who will challenge you to do things. Find somebody that will pick up the phone with you and go back and forth making calls. And then you get to see how your partner gets to do it, and then they get to see how you do it. And it just helps the flow. It keeps you honest, and it makes you do the hard things that eventually, as Melvin said, they will come easy to you. I've actually been doing
it. Bill, let me
point
this out for a minute since we're on this. I think most of us are dealing with the same program on this call, and I'm not sure of that. So let me just put it this way, that there is a program where all you need to do is introduce one person a month to this program. And most people are not going to do it. And it is so obvious, I know it is to me, that they're not putting any time in to making it happen, because it's not possible. It's not possible, I don't care who you are, to put in adequate time and not have that done every single month. But when talking to these people, one of the things that you will find, which we're all experts at, and some of us are just much better at it than others, is excuses. You'll hear every excuse in the world why I'm not doing what I need to do to make what I say I would like my my dreams to be. It's amazing, but it's all coming down to time. The time's not there. There's the games. There's an excuse. There's it's something I really don't want to do because it's I got to feel better about myself to be able to talk to people, and so I try to avoid it and get around it and use the time for other things, and I'm good at coming up with excuses. So it's a done deal. Back to you, Bill.
That's hard, and that's why I'm saying it's for me, for example, when I got back on to cold calling, picking up the phone and trying to make it happen, I made a good friend. His name is Jeff, and he's also in the business, and we're all connected through the silver thread. So he's not in my group, but we created a friendship, and we both challenged each other to pick up the phone and call people. And he said, well, you're the trainer, Bill. I want to hear you do it first. So that kind of put me on the spot. And I did it. I made 10 calls with him listening. He didn't make any. But then after I did those 10 calls, and out of those 10, I had three interested parties. And these are owners of companies, small mom-and-pop companies, mind you. But I was looking for leaders in our area from the Chamber of Commerce. And so he got on the phone, and he made a whole mess of calls. I was very impressed with his style. It sounded like it was easy for him anyway. He was great on the telephone. So again, then we started going back and forth. So that's the power of having somebody to do it with, so that you don't, you know, find yourself in the quagmire that Melvin talks about, where you're constantly looking for excuses or rationalizing. Oh, well, and I understand it. I have to psych myself up to do it. I have to get in the frame of mind. I have to read my affirmations, or I have to listen to something positive, or I psych myself up, and then I go for it and I do it. Isn't that right, Melvin? Don't you? I mean, you can't just pick up the phone. Well, maybe you can, and maybe Paul can, but I have to get myself in that modus of operandi, if you will. And,
Bill, can you still hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's interesting that we were going to talk about this, because one of the things that Paul asked me to do, and I'll be doing it today at 11 o'clock, that's 11 o'clock Central Time, so it would be 12 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to be making calls. It's going to be on the same exact number, so everything that you did to get on this call will be the same thing to get on the call at 11 o'clock, so I will be making some calls at that time. But it's not that difficult for me, and the reason for that is there's other principles that you can implement that makes it very easy. If those are the other principles that you've been teaching on Think and Grow Rich. And one of those things is to overcome your fear. So, you know, you start realizing that, you know, as soon as you're fearing something, you act. You just act against that fear. You have to use this thing called courage. I mean, we're all afraid. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't have fear. But if you're implementing this thing, courage, you just throw yourself out there. You know, it's kind of like when people go swimming, you don't go, you know, dabbing with your toe in the water and feeling it and touching it. You walk over there and you jump in the pool, and it's over and done with. And you have to do the same thing with making these calls. You just pick it up. You're talking to another human being. You're talking to another person. I mean, gosh, why we make that so difficult? I don't understand. But
that's true.
So anyway, I'd love to be making those calls if someone wants to get a feel for what I say and how I do it.
Well, listen, I can't wait. If anybody's available, that'd be 12 o'clock Eastern. That'll be on the same number, and that would be 11 o'clock Central and 10 o'clock Mountain and 9 o'clock Pacific. So if you're around at that time, Melvin's going to be making telephone calls on the same line, 712-432-0900, and the PIN is 565-762 pound key. And if anybody else would like to star six and add into the conversation here, we're about to the end of the call, but we probably have a couple more minutes. If anybody wants to add anything, please star six yourself and join the conversation.
Bill, this is Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi, how you doing? One thing I want to say is, Melvin, I'm excited to hear that you're going to do those calls. And my issue is with the calls is, I don't know why I never know what a good time of day to call people. I'm always afraid it's going to be too late, it's too early. So I end up not calling anyone because of that issue.
Bill, can I speak on this one?
Be my guest.
Actually, what you're doing when you do that, and we all do that, what we're doing is we're creating excuses. Here's the best time to call someone, so I'll go ahead and give it to all of you. The best time to call someone is between 10 o'clock. Now, keep in mind, I'm dealing with Eastern time, 10 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Now, the reason for 10 to 8 is at 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock, on the East Coast. So I'm not calling anybody after 9. And then if it's 8 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock on the West Coast. So I'm not calling anybody from before 8. So I'm dealing with calling people from 8 in the morning all the way up until 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night. That's the time zone I'm working in. And I don't have to give second thought to what the phone number is or whether on East Coast or West Coast to be able to do that. And as far as a good time, there is no such thing. It don't exist. I'm talking about Sunday. I'm talking about 7 days a week. I'm talking about throughout the day. because I used to play that game too. Well, let's see, it's about it's about 5 o'clock. I know they're having dinner right now, and I don't want to interfere with their dinner, and or it's lunchtime, and people are on lunch right now. All that spirit work, that's all that is. And so we just realize that any time in between there is the best time, and you just go ahead and make that call.
If I can add something to that, Melvin, too. You know, Joy, I laugh at that because I used to do the same thing, and that's why I can relate to it so easily. But you know what you got to do? When you call people at 8 o'clock in the morning or you call them at 9 o'clock at night, and when I was younger, in my 30s, I was calling people till midnight, calling the West Coast because it's only 9 o'clock out there. If you've got something that valuable and that important, you see, this is where you have to sell yourself on what you're doing. You believe in it. It becomes a part of you. It consumes you. You want it so badly. And if it's that important that you're calling these people up, and you've got to make it important, Joy. You've got to make it important. This is something you're asking them to join your team, to work together as teammates. So if it's important in your mind, it'll be important to them when you have it to tell it to them. So remember, no time. I mean, with the exception of being courteous and not calling them at 6 a.m. and not calling them at, 3 o'clock in the morning, what Melvin is saying is perfect sense. And I call people when I get up. Not when I get up. I got up this morning at 4:30 in the morning. But when I get going, when the sun finally comes up, 8 o'clock in the morning, all the way up until 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. If it's valuable and important and something that I want to share with them and somebody that I want specifically on my team, and it's been hard to get a hold of them, I'll make up whatever excuse that way and say, hey, look, wow, you're hard to find. It's 9:30 at night. I finally found you. And then start going through the conversation. So that's it, basically. Oh, listen, it's 9:34. Unless anybody else has anybody else want to say anything, star 6 your phone and join the call if you want real quick. Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Three times gone. Well, listen, everybody, thank you very much for helping me on this call. Thank you, Melvin. I appreciate all your tremendous sense. And of course, Melvin's the top leader in our company, and so I bow to him. And his sense and what he knows about this and building this business is amazing. And I give a lot of credit up to Melvin, and I appreciate his insights and helping me with explaining time management. Time management is also important to all of us. But look at this day, and look at what you have in front of you. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's just a promise. Today's your day, Joy. Today, right now, you get off the phone here with us, and you get your list out, and you start calling people. That's what I'm going to do. I already have my calls lined up for this morning that I'm going to get on as soon as I get off this call, because today's the 24th, and in our company, it's the beginning of the what? The gold rush? Well, I've got people going in, so I am going to be getting on the horn right away. And then I have West Coast calls that I have to do as well. So I'll be doing my East Coast calls and the Central calls and the West Coast calls as the day goes. But I'll be sure to get on that call with you, Melvin. I hope everybody has a blessed day. Take this day and make it your day. Go out there and be successful with yourselves. Have your action plan and go make it a phenomenal day. Because remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Thanks, Melvin. Take care, everybody, and God bless. Yes.
Do you have my phone number?
No. Why don't you give it to me?
630.
Hold on. Wait. 630.
497.
497.
1550.
1550. Okay. You want me to call you after this?
Yeah, 630-497-1550. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll call you. All right, everybody, have a super day. Take care.